trampa.
This is Bird Note. Andy and condors may not sound pretty, but in the blue skies over the Andes, they're majestic, one with the heavens. In the glare of a cold sun, white wing bands flash against coal-black plumage. 10 feet from tip to tip, those outstretched wings seem frozen in place, because in flight, the condor is almost literally unflappable. While flying, according to researchers from Argentina and the UK, Andean condors only flap 1% of the time. They flap to launch their bulky bodies off the ground. But after that, condors cruise effortlessly on their broad, sturdy wings. Andean condors use the wind and rising air currents called thermals to sail vast distances. One bird was tracked for more than 100 miles over 5 flapless hours. According to the researcher Sergio Lambertucci, the time at the end of glides between thermals is the riskiest part of condors' flight because they have to find rising air to avoid an unplanned landing. So they might flap a little then. But for the most part, condors spend almost no energy as they soar far and wide over towering peaks and endless grasslands. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
Radio Rewind. Now we wait it. Radio Rewind. Now we wait it. Radio Rewind. Radio Rewind. The following content has previously aired on CJSF. But don't worry, we'll be back next week with fresh content. CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse. Independent. Yours.
Performance?
Yeah, we get a live performance. We haven't done that moment either.
And that voice that you hear sneaking through suspiciously, it's the one, the only, Richard Wyman. Wyman, welcome back.
Good evening, Vancouver.
Oh. Of Whirly's fame. Of yes, Whirly's yes. fame. It was way back when, what, 2013? 14? Mm-hmm. When we had
infamy.
The Whirly's. I got to take a very brief detour because it's Whirly's related, and it's just popped right into my brain, and if I don't do it now, it's just not going to happen.
Fire it, baby.
I definitely haven't told this story on this radio show before. Maybe another one.
Tell me.
But so I went to the National Community Radio Conference in Calgary about a month ago, at the end of May, beginning of June, and on one of the nights, we had a karaoke party at the Palomino Smokehouse. And, you know, we're going. I did my classic The Saga Begins by Weird Al, the Star Wars American Pie parody. And then somebody started singing a song by Flying Machine at karaoke.
In Calgary. On karaoke.
Right? Flying Machine being the band of our friend Dan, who was in the Whirlies with Richard. Mm-hmm. Freaking weird. I have never, ever previously been at karaoke and had people start singing a song by, like, my friend? Like, wait, what? It's a radio host from Prince George. What do you know?
What do you know? Also, what a flex.
Yeah.
Just be like, oh, I'm just going to do, like, a Northern BC little pop rock band.
Did you find out who it was? Like, who was singing?
Yeah. It was Ian, who is the... either station, he's someone at CFUR, the Prince George station, and Dan used to come in all the time and, like, play shows and do other CFUR-related stuff. So he knew his band and loved it. It was great. And with the power of YouTube, almost everything is a karaoke song now, so.
There you go.
Anyway.
Less past, more present, Richard Wyman. You're back in British Columbia, in Canada. You were away for a while. How are you doing, my guy?
I'm doing all right. All things considered, I've been back for, I guess, a little over a year now. Got a good job and everything like that. And, yeah, I've just been doing the music thing on the side and been enjoying it. So, I don't know. Like, I guess... pretty good, all things considered.
There you go.
Can't complain.
Now, you were in Germany for a
Deutschland.
While. How long were you there for?
6 years.
Six.
It was 6 years.
Dude, what?
We've been graduated for 6 years?
Oh, my God. Listen, you guys, I was married to an older woman. I had a whole, like, white picket fence, everything. I was a different man.
Oh, wow. No, and now here you are in the heart of Chinatown, ready to do some acoustic rock and roll songs for us.
Well, such as they are.
but when you're over in Germany, so you, as you just said, different life, different guy altogether, was music still a big part of what you're doing over there?
Yes. Actually, I was teaching in a bilingual English-German kindergarten, and while I was there, like the boss of the kindergarten, I met while working in an Irish pub, and it was her Irish folk music band that I ended up joining. There was actually originally an American guy who was in the band, and he left, and he made the introduction between the two of us, and so originally I'd started jamming with their band, and then she was like, well, hey, he's leaving. Do you want to come work at the kindergarten? We need a native English speaker. You happen to be one of those. And so wow. Before you knew it, I was teaching English for almost 3 years.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So it's good that you were keeping up with the playing, because from what we remember, you're a fantastic guitar player.
I'm really not.
You're a little diddler of the strings there.
I don't think we use that word anymore. Really, I would avoid it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You know, for me, like, this kind of music, like, I've played in different bands. Like, sure. Like I said, I was in that, the folk music band. I'm not Irish or anything, you know. And I've played in, of course, bands like the Whirlies, and I've sang and done stuff before. But this is, like, my own sort of thing that I started playing a little bit on and off while I was still in Germany. And it's a genre of music, you know, affectionately known as, like, American primitivism or insert your country here, primitive guitar. And what that essentially boils down to is it's just instrumental blues guitar in a concert form. Mm. That's basically it. So, you know, I've been really passionate about it. I don't know. I've been wanting to do it for a long time. Maybe one day I'll get a band back together. But it's really just more or less kind of been my my passion project is to get this sort of thing going so I could do it on my own.
Sounds good. Less chat, more guitar playing.
All right.
What do you think? Yeah. Let's dig into to some of the pieces that you've got for us today.
All right. So maybe what I'll do, just because I kind of like to do it this way, is I'll just play, you know, three in a row or whatever. I'll let you know when I'm done, and we can just do it that way.
Cool. Yeah.
That's cool.
That works for you.
Yep. All right.
Thank you. yourself.
Two more?
Let's
do
you want to take a break? Pause for the cause?
Let's pause. I I got stuff to talk about. Sure. First of all, wow, amazing. Nicely done, Richard. Like,
thank you.
there's something like hypnotic about it. There's something you know, like almost like beyond musical in just like the rhythm and the sequence of it, I guess.
There feels like there's a narrative arc to each piece. They said certainly in the original one that you played as well.
That said, the original one is called Fraser River Blues, and I wrote that after having a brief stay in Chilliwack for a little while, and yeah, it was a kind of an up and down moment in my life last year where. I don't know. You know, for me, something I like to do is just go out and chill, like, by the water and play the guitar. And you play... These open tunings kind of lend themselves to that atmospheric aesthetic and storytelling on the guitar, I feel like, which you guys are talking about. And so, saw that river a lot and decided, hey, why not? It's a good name for a blues song. Why not?
You know what? It fits perfectly with Riverside guitar playing too. Like, absolutely.
Thank you.
You can almost hear the river in the background. You know, it really transports you there to this sort of like pastoral thing. Yeah, I don't know. How did you come to this kind of music?
I've been listening to. I mean, this quote unquote American primitive guitar goes back to the 60s and 50s by a guy named John Fahey, who's a legend, and not just in terms of skill in guitar playing, but as a person. He was a weird dude. but he basically took this, he was a big fan of like the Delta Blues finger pickers, and he wanted to do kind of his own thing, which is, you know, blues in a concert guitar form. And that's, you know, some journalists essentially coined the term American, you know, primitive guitar, right? But I don't even think he was that big of a fan of it. But nowadays, like, that's how I came, is growing up listening to his music. And, you know, I've always been, like, influenced by blues and such, right? But, I mean, him and his disciples are kind of the originators. And now there's guys like Daniel Bachman in the United States who I have email correspondence with occasionally. Hi, Daniel. And Gwenifer Raymond, who's a Welsh primitive guitar player, and she's awesome. She could, like, oh, she could finger pick so fast. Like, man, it's all in the right hand, you know? But, I think I stumbled upon it, to answer your question in a long roundabout way, as most of
us... That's how we like it.
Yeah.
we're not looking for quick answers here, Richard.
You know, it's like LimeWire and Kazaa back in the day. You remember when you were just be like, well, if you like this artist or whatever, for whatever reason, the title was just really long, mm-hmm. and you'd find out, oh, that's not like a different Eric Clapton song that's like John Fahey. Okay, cool. So that's... At some point, that's how I discovered that dude, and I've just been a huge fan ever since.
Happy accident.
Yeah, basically.
Thanks, piracy.
Yay! We all did it.
Oh, yeah.
Look at me accusing yeah, that, me. It's interesting, because like, I've definitely known you as a blues player, but this genre, this American primitivism, do we call it Canadian primitivism? Is that
I call it like Canadian primitive guitar. It's such like a term that doesn't like have any applicable reason, or like it's not like it doesn't represent what the words mean. Technically, it's just more of a, well, you're not strictly a blues player, and you're not like a classical guitar player, so don't really know what to fit where we could shoehorn you. Well, so there you go.
The suggestion to me is just like guitar playing. That's the thing. It's guitar playing. That's the suggestion there to me.
Well, it's a lot of it is it draws, like, you know, a lot of the players will try and draw on, like, the folk music guitar mm-hmm. playing sure. genre of their country as well. Like, Gwenifer Raymond, for example, has, like, some Welsh influences in her music. And, you know, over time, when I'm not, you know, when I'm a better guitarist, I would like to maybe incorporate the, you know, there's lots of different musical traditions in mm-hmm. Canada, from the East and the Acadians to the different First Nations groups. And, you know, that would be something interesting I'd like to explore one day. But for now, I've only got like two songs written. So, you know, it's baby steps. We'll get there.
Absolutely. I feel like the genre comes naturally to you. It's a fine marriage. It really makes sense. So the fact that you're digging in and playing within it, I think is a credit to both you and the genre. Now you said you have two originals written. Mm-hmm. We've heard one of them. I assume we're going to hear the other ones.
If you want,
I mean, we would love to. Good. But do you have plans to record and get something going? I've seen you fiddling around in the studio a little bit via socials.
Yes, I have recorded with longtime friend and legendary producer Kyle Schick, who's at Malibu Sound Studios, is where I recorded my stuff with him, and I believe he's moving into Little Red Sound Studio. So, you know, get him before he's too expensive, ladies and gentlemen, because it's going to happen. He's going to be recording I'm not sure if I can say who he's going to be recording next. I don't know if that's top secret.
But
he's got a big project.
That's a good enough tease.
Yeah, it's a good enough tease. They're bigs. The big players.
They're physically large.
Yeah.
They're huge people.
I was guess I don't know. Did you, maybe you guys forgot. I ramble.
Yeah.
But
you have me as a guest.
Yeah, so exactly. Airtime, not a problem. Like recording. I mean, that I have. I don't have plans to record in the immediate future. I think I would just like to get some shows under my belt, write some more stuff, get nice and tight, I guess, in terms of playing, because that's, you know, with this kind of music, I mean, you don't really have, there's no backing band, there's no singing, mm-hmm. I mean, unless you want that, right? But I don't have it, so I really want to get, you know, I'm not perfect, but like as close to good as I can be.
Well, because it becomes almost, you know, not like a... It can potentially be like a technical display also, right? And you want to be able to keep up in that regard, or to keep up to the level that you can achieve what it is you're trying to achieve musically, right? Because that's always been one of the the great frustrations for me is I have not put in the time and effort to learn the skills necessary to make the sounds that I want to come out of my brain all the time.
I feel you.
You know? And I think that that's a constant struggle for a lot of musicians, but I can definitely see how with something like this music where it is very much just like you playing the guitar and that's the point, how you would really want to be like really dialed in. And you have been so far. So nice
thank
work.
You. Thank you.
Yeah. There's two more opportunities from DeFlub. So
yeah, I was going to say that.
let's hear the next ones that you got lined up for us. Do you want right. Is there any preface that you want to give to the next piece that you're going to play?
No, I guess the next song is just like called The Bee, and that's the next original one, and then I'll end it off with another John Fahey rendition of actually a song that is like an old apparently blues standard called How Long. But yeah, I'll just play them both consecutively and, you know, try not to flub. Close to how it's supposed to sound.
Hey, a little improvisation.
There
why?
We go.
You know?
Just put these there. Thank you. Wyman Show without one flub, baby.
Ripping it.
I feel bad that we put that out into the universe.
No, it's okay.
No, this is where the mess happens, and it's beautiful. And you know what?
Live.
You know what? Not every performance is note perfect, and that's part of the beauty of it. You know, is just being here and being like, oh, well, I guess you'll figure it out. I guess you'll just keep playing. Oh. You know, whatever.
It's been a blast. Thanks for having me. Honestly, it's just nice to be able to play again.
Oh, we're only halfway through, Wyman. So don't you worry. We got another 32 minutes of hanging out together in this tiny little room.
Not
it's actually not that small. Yeah, that was again really great. I love hearing you play. I was transported back to childhood summers at the Canmore Folk Music Festival.
Oh, nice.
Where there was